You're listening to the Corporate Expat Experience.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to start a real business while still in your demanding corporate job? I'm asked this all the time. Is it possible? My day job is really demanding and I have kids. How can I do this? Where will I find the time? Where do I start? And the questions keep going. If you want to start a business and also want to keep your current job, and you have these questions and probably many more, this podcast episode is just for you. Also, if you love to cook or you want to elevate your cooking game, this podcast is for you too. Today, we meet Becca and Justin Christensen, founders of Portland Salt Co., who are maintaining dual residency, living, working, and thriving in both their corporate jobs in the corporate world and in entrepreneurial world. This power couple launched their business in December of 2021, a business born during the pandemic lockdown. They did this all while maintaining their demanding jobs in the tech industry, dealing with supply chain issues, and with kids. Portland Salt Co. is booming, and they have been featured on The Today Show, Martha Stewart, and you'll find their products on familiar shelves in stores and online. Becca and Justin are amazing examples of how to make your entrepreneurial dreams and goals happen while still fully engaged and thriving in your corporate career. So let's dive right in. Becca, Justin, welcome to the podcast. I am so thrilled to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, introduce yourselves. Tell us all about you.
Okay, I'll start. Becca Christensen, and grew up in Oregon, so a native Oregonian. I had the privilege of meeting my co-founder and husband here, Justin, in college. We quickly kind of went through the business school together and then ventured right into our corporate careers. And we've had some great times together, moved across the country a few times to Washington, D.C. for work, to the Bay Area for work. And now we're back residing in Portland, Oregon, and raising two amazing kids with a great family here.
And well, Becca told you a lot of my story in that as well. But, you know, I think we not only were in school together, we actually started our careers at the same corporation, a large IT technology corporation, in finance. And it gave us a lot of experience in the corporate business world. We're now both in sales. So we've translated a lot of what we learned in finance and been able to leverage that in sales. And it's also helped us in building Portland Salt Co. as well. So it's been helpful for us to be on that journey together.
Oh, that's amazing. What a cool story. I love that. Well, tell me about how Portland Salt Co. came about.
So it's really funny how it's evolved, but as Justin mentioned, we've been in the corporate world for now close to a few decades. It's been a fun journey, and COVID was a really interesting time. You know, previously, as Justin mentioned, we were both in sales roles, which meant we were often in front of customers traveling all over the country, and in Justin's case, all over the world. And COVID really kind of brought things to a screeching halt. We no longer needed to be on airplanes for travel, freed up a lot of time. And at the same time, we were kind of stuck inside trying to figure out, you know, what we did with all of our new free time. Through that process, I started to really seek new opportunities and outlets for creativity. So this kind of vision of an entrepreneurial endeavor started to really weigh heavy on my mind, whether I was, you know, working out and running and thinking about what was next, or really seeking how I could kind of delve into a creative outlet. You know, it got really inspired, and I started meeting with a number of folks who had left corporate jobs and went into this kind of entrepreneurial, you know, endeavor, and just got a lot of confidence that we had the capability to do that together. And so one day I came home and I said, I was in the kitchen on the computer working away, and Justin popped in and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Starting a company." And I was online, I was building a website, I was heads down trying to figure out how to navigate Shopify and all of the things that would be required to stand up a company in the early stages. So it's been a fun journey.
So did you want to be an entrepreneur? Was that even something you had thought about, or was because you're coming from the corporate world, right? And when we're in corporate, we're so ingrained in the corporate whole world and spectrum, right? Was that even something that you had thought about as starting a business?
I'll be honest, I was always really envious of people that had the ability to go out and build something from scratch. And I know, like, deep within me, Justin has always had these inherent capabilities to go and build and have that entrepreneurial spirit. But I had a lot of self-doubt about myself. Was I capable? I'd been so kind of confined to that corporate world for so long. There was always a safety net of, you know, programs and processes and, you know, revenue and income streams that came in. And so I wasn't sure I had what it would take to do that, but something in me flipped one day and said, you know, we need to take this chance.
What about you, Justin?
Yeah, well, I think we spent a lot of time building things within our corporations, and that was kind of how we had been harnessing that entrepreneurial spirit. And we always wanted an outlet outside of the corporate world. But I think, you know, for us, a struggle was trying to determine what that outlet was, and maybe even harder was making the decision to actually do it. Frankly, once we made the decision to do it, it really wasn't that hard. And salt or seasoning blends was completely accidental. If you would have asked either one of us, you know, at any point in time prior to launching the company, do you have any ambition of launching a salt company? We probably would have been confused. But the reality is we love food. And when we were traveling for those corporate jobs, I would land on a plane from Asia or Europe and Becca would say, hey, do you want to host a dinner party? And she'd have 10 guests. She'd say Friday night or Saturday night. I'm like, neither, right? Like, I don't know which one I'm going to be more tired for. And so we'd created these blends that made it easier for us to execute those types of dinners, spend time with our guests. And during the COVID lockdowns, everyone found themselves cooking at home a lot more than they had. And people started asking us for those blends. And we were making them in a KitchenAid mixer, just sending them to people. It was happening with increasing requests for quantities, as well as, you know, can you send it to me more often? And finally, one day, Becca looked at me right before she started working on the Shopify site and everything. And she just said, I think we're onto something. And so, you know, we had this desire to start a company. I think we didn't know what that company should be, and that kind of held us back. And as soon as we thought that we had an idea that was actually worth, you know, taking in our time and investing it and bringing it to other people, we jumped right in.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, even when we lived in Washington, D.C., I remember envisioning opening a salad company. I drew logos. I had, you know, taglines. I had specific kind of creative elements of starting a business. But the hurdles of capital investment, of standing up a brick and mortar, of all of the things required, you know, staffing, I'm like, I don't think I'm capable of this. So to Justin's point, it was really about, we knew we had this vision around having something that was really ours that we were able to build and control and watch grow. But also defining what that was an interesting and complex process.
Do you think that if COVID had not happened, you would be where you are today? Or do you think it was just a matter of time? It was going to happen anyway? Because it sounds like you had that entrepreneurial bug.
I think something was going to happen. I think it was a matter of time. I referenced a book that it's a children's book. It's, you know, what do you do with an idea? And it's basically the concept that an idea kind of follows you along. It evolves, it shifts, it morphs. But, you know, if it's sticky enough, it sticks with you to the point where you can't ignore it any longer and you kind of have to take action. Do I action against it, or do I put that idea or thought to bed? And I remember, you know, we talked about starting property management companies back when we had some extra properties that were being rented out. So I think it was always there. I think it was a matter of time, and COVID was really the opportunity for us to pause a lot of the things that kept us so busy, mm-hmm. to actually free up some space to just think and actually do.
Yeah, I agree. I think much like we've seen with technology adoption, COVID accelerated what was already happening. I think this probably was a path that we would have gone down at some point, but I think COVID really did give us the opportunity to make it happen. And, you know, a lot of our evenings were spent building the business, and that would have been really tough to do if we were on planes and you know, away from home, away from the family, and away from the ability to spend the time on it.
One of the things that so many people that I talk to struggle with when they're in the corporate world and they're like, I want to do something different, honing in on what that exactly is. And you touched on it a little bit, but how did you know that this was the thing? Because you mentioned a couple of different possibilities, but how did you like really narrow in on that and say, you know what, this is it, let's go with it?
I believe it came to us a little bit as a function of what we loved. So to Justin's point, food has been a passion, a hobby for us for a very, very long time. We cook at home all the time. You know, most of our fun activities and conversations are centered around a dinner table or a meal or a shared experience over food with people. So I think that was part of how we got here. But I also firmly believe if you're going to, you know, kind of bridge this gap between corporate world and entrepreneurial world, and if you're kind of committing to do both until you feel ready to fully launch or dive into entrepreneurship, it needs to be something that you love. Because at the end of the day, to Justin's point, you're spending nights and weekends and hours up until midnight when you could be watching Netflix and having the best time with your new show. You have to commit those hours to actually doing the work. And so if you don't love it, it's not the right space. So that was part of kind of how we got to where we got to. And I think what's really helped us stick with it and commit all of those extra hours and time to it.
So talking about that, I mean, you have full-time jobs, you have kids, balance. I'm sure that that's a challenge. Would love to hear your thoughts on like how you're managing all of that. I mean, I know that I've heard these things, you've got to have life work balance, and then there's no such thing as it, you know, but how do you manage to get all of the things done? Very busy in your corporate world with family and then this thriving business.
Yeah, I think first I would say we don't manage to get everything done, right? I mean, there's always trade-offs. And I think for us, a lot of the trade-offs have been in time with friends and time with fun, because for us, family is a non-negotiable, right? Family comes first. Our corporate jobs keep us occupied many more hours than people expect you to work. And then, you know, third comes our baby, which is Portland Salt Co., our business baby. And we don't have a ton of time outside of those three things. So we've really emphasized doing those three things as well as we can. But admittedly, it is actually frustrating sometimes to, you know, not be at the soccer match with your friends or to not be out for drinks or dinner. We do miss a lot of that. We think it's worth it or we wouldn't be doing it. But it's actually been fun. I think when we wrote about our first year in business, we talked a lot about the book, What Do You Do With an Idea, which again is a children's book, but it's amazing. And we kind of used that as a example for what we did with Portland Salt Co. And Portland Salt Co. has become a member of our family. It literally joins us in conversations often at dinner the majority of the time, right? So I think for us, it's become a natural extension of our lives. And that, like Becca said, that makes it easier. Now, sometimes, you know, we go do shows on the weekends where we're selling salts. After a 5-day work week, you know, a 9-year-old and 7-year-old kid, usually the last thing you want to do on the weekend is, you know, go spend 10 hours selling something out of a stand. So there is some, I guess, mental hurdles you've got to overcome in terms of, I'm really going to commit to this.
Are they getting involved as well?
Oh, absolutely. They take a lot of pride in their contributions to the business. And I think it has been absolutely incredible to give them this gift of showing them this journey. I didn't get this with my parents. I don't know if you had that experience, Justin, but watching us pour everything we have into trying to make this work, getting creative, getting frustrated, having setbacks, being rejected, figuring out how to overcome those rejections or objections and move forward. And then just the sheer amount of work and grit that's required to be successful. So I'm watching that. And actually our daughter at school, we came home, picked her up from school one day, and she had business cards and she had a folder. And it turns out for the past few weeks, she had been in one of her school teacher's offices at lunch every day with her girlfriends, planning out a whole initiative expensive to bring a business at school to be able to sell their homemade wares. And they had a finance plan. So they had pricing models. They had a marketing plan. I mean, it was things that I would have never thought as a 9-year-old.
You left out the best plan. They literally had a slide that said, how we get the money.
Oh yes. How we get the money.
I love that.
So now we put everything in context of how are we going to get the money? Like that's the plan.
Yes. And they've leaned in a ton. So our son, he actually likes to build the boxes, which is probably one of the least fun things we do. But, you know, if he sees us building boxes, he'll lean in and he'll start building boxes. He's very curious about profitability. He always wants to understand how many units you're selling at a show, what the pricing is, what it costs to have the booth, how much you're paying for staffing. So he's 7, right? But he's really leaning in. Our daughter's really artistic. So she likes to lean in on a lot of the branding and helping set up for the events. And it's just been really fun to watch both of them get engaged, take ownership. They claim they created Toast Sugar. They got to try a lot of different samples. And for them, that means they created it because, you know, they helped select the final blend, if you will.
Well, they did a great job because I've been enjoying all of your products. In fact, I even had some, as I mentioned before, with lunch today. The Greek seasoning is amazing. And they did a great job then on that cinnamon.
You really did.
But what a great experience for them. I mean, like you said, a lot of us, I was fortunate. I came from an entrepreneurial family. So I asked some of the same questions, but it also not only is fantastic for them. I mean, you have a team there, you have your creative and you have your finance person and a box builder, which is amazing. And I'm sure taste testing and all of that good stuff. What an incredible experience. And I think too, that probably brings the family closer together, getting in on and doing all these things as a family unit. They feel that sense of ownership and pride in the family business.
Absolutely. I think it helps them not feel so like we're taking up their weekends with all of these events. They're just really excited. It's a part of the business that we're all running together. So it's been really amazing to watch them evolve as little tiny humans in this business that we're building.
It's so impressive too, that your daughter was thinking about like all the aspects and she's getting together with her friends and sharing that knowledge too. And that's pretty impressive for a 9-year-old, because I talk to seasoned founders and entrepreneurs who are starting up businesses who hadn't thought about all the things, like the different plans that you need to make and the marketing and all of that. I'm sure that for you too, with your corporate background, lots of great lessons learned. What are some of the things that you feel like you brought from corporate that really helped you either in a situation or even just getting started with a business?
I would say the technology industry is very unique in its ability to scale, right? So companies start in a garage or in a dorm room, and a decade or two later, they're the biggest companies in the world. And first of all, I think that gave us the confidence that we can do this we don't do it out of the garage, right? But out of our own home. So I think that there was the spirit that the technology brings in terms of you can start small and you can scale and you can build the scale. And I would say the number one thing I think we've taken away from the tech industry and incorporated into our small business is build to scale from the start, which most of the, you know, entrepreneurs and small business owners we're selling next to haven't done, you know, partly maybe because they haven't thought of it, maybe because they don't have the resources, because it is a significant investment to do so, right? So I think that's an advantage. And just to kind of give an example, you know, when we first had this idea, we thought we'd run a commercial kitchen, we'd mix the blends in the commercial kitchen on the weekend, and then we would sell it. And we were very fortunate to have met with the Oregon State Food Innovation team, and they were like, shouldn't you go through a co-packer? Like, you have corporate jobs, you've got kids, like, why are you going to pack these yourselves? And we actually didn't know that co-packers existed in the food industry. But basically, we create a recipe and we send that to the co-packer, much like a designer sends a recipe to TSMC to manufacture silicon. And they manufacture that for you. And once we understood kind of how the whole market worked, we were able to apply our knowledge of how we've scaled technology to try and do something similar. It's obviously not the same, but with food. And we've even taken that once we've built the product to how do we scale through partners? How do we build an ecosystem of partners that can grow with us, that can be successful with us, but can also sell on our behalf?
And to expand on the partners, I think the ecosystem and the experiences and the complexities that we've both experienced in the technology world with those ecosystems has helped us think more broadly about growing this business. Not only is it expansive channel partner opportunities, whether it's distributors, brokers, it also is kind of the less traditional routes to market. How do we look at direct to consumer is very common now, but even things like expanding into more specialty retail or leveraging television programs like the QVCs of the world and the Today Shows of the world. How do we think about leveraging those channels? And then also kind of the broader network of makers in the market, whether it's partnerships through collaborations, whether it's leveraging, you know, relationships they have in a similar space that you're trying to work into. It's a really similar model to what we do in our day jobs. And it's just applying that in a completely new industry, but understanding that navigation of that complexity helps propel you significantly farther and faster than if you don't take advantage of that.
Absolutely. And the parallels, I mean, I see them. It's uncanny how, like you said, to scale and starting that from the beginning, leveraging those corporate lessons and best practices, I'm sure have made a tremendous impact on your business. What are some things that surprised you that you weren't expecting that maybe aren't the same as in the corporate world?
I think one of the things that's surprised me is how much in the food industry, we call it the consumer packaged goods, so CPG space, how many people are rooting for you locally and what that local community looks like to mutually kind of rise the tide across all of those makers. So Justin mentioned the Food Innovation Center, which has been really incredible and quite a bit of a launch pad for us in terms of engaging in this local community. But within Oregon, there's a tremendous amount of makers, pickles, jams, honeys, you name it, sauces. And everybody is invested in sharing what they've learned along the way to help others succeed. For the most part, I'm sure there's exceptions, but that's really enabled us to do is lean into those learnings, take the opportunity to talk to people who have done this before. Yes, we've got great experience in the past 20 years of gathering that through the tech industry, but this is a brand new industry for us. And there's a lot to learn. And just looking to your left and your right and seeing the neighbors that are willing to share their knowledge, share their key relationships, share, facts that you hadn't even considered, share grant opportunities through state-funded grants that you can grab to really kind of drive growth and acceleration in your business. I think that's been a really big surprise, an amazingly pleasant surprise for me.
Yeah, I've been overwhelmed with the amount of people who want to help support us. And the local community is incredible. So I think that probably would have been at the top of my list. The other thing I'd say, like, if you're in a big corporation, now you probably run into this if you're in a startup, but if you're in a big corporation, things are pretty smooth and there aren't completely unexpected things. Like I remember we launched our company the day before our inventory was supposed to arrive. And our inventory had already been delayed by like 2 or 3 weeks for various different reasons. We launched our company at the height of COVID logistics challenges. And so there was no glass available in the market. You couldn't get like matching lids. You had to have different seals, like just there was a shortage of everything. And then, there was backups at the ports and the trucks weren't delivering things like kind of on time. I mean, it was crazy, but we had been waiting for weeks and weeks to launch our company. And finally we got a call like, hey, we're going to deliver. I think it was like 7 pallets of inventory tomorrow. So we launched our company online. We launched on LinkedIn. So one thing I would say for your listeners is, we leverage the network we have through our corporate jobs to let people know about our small business. And the response was overwhelming. We had orders coming in like all night. It was amazing. And then we woke up the next morning and the inventory wasn't delivered. And so we called and we're like, hey, you're supposed to be here at this time. Are you still coming today? And they lost our inventory. And so we had to stop stop receiving orders. We had to communicate with the customers who had placed orders that, you know, there was going to be a delay. We were very fortunate. Again, we launched with a community that was very supportive. Nobody canceled an order. Everyone was very understanding. But it turned out it was in the back of a delivery or a trailer, a truck trailer in a parking lot in Portland. And it didn't get discovered until early January. So we missed the entire holiday season. We stopped taking orders during the busiest time of the year. And that was day two of the company, right? So I think, you know, you've just got to be prepared for the unexpected, because the unexpected happens more often than you would guess. And more often than not, it's been good, but it can go either way.
Well, and I would also say, as in everything in life, take those opportunities for those unexpected situations to modify your approach next time. We learned a really valuable lesson. We better see the inventory before we launch it, right? Because customer satisfaction is so critical, and building loyalty amongst our customers is so critical. So, you know, as long as you're kind of drawing from those, and we can laugh about it now, and even as frustrating as it was in the moment, learning and kind of changing your behavior or figuring out how to approach things slightly differently next time to mitigate as much of that as you can. But to Justin's point, there will always be those challenges, and you just have to navigate how you respond to those.
That is an amazing challenge to overcome. It's never, I can't even imagine, you know, on day two going, where's my stuff?
You know? Well, and it was lost for weeks. And so, you know, we had just placed a pretty substantial investment in all of this inventory, these 7 pallets. And we didn't know if we were going to have to reblend everything and file insurance claims or what the outcome was going to be. We're very fortunate that it was a few week delay, and that's all that it was, but, you know, quite a learning process.
Yeah. And we'd gone through the process of actually starting the insurance claim, because after weeks of it being missing, we weren't actually expecting it to be found. And it's just, you know, it just talks to how the environment was during COVID, that you could have a trailer parked in the facility and people don't know where it's at, which maybe is a good lead in for the corporate opportunities to connect your endpoint devices, right? So you know where they're at.
Absolutely. That's a great use case. That's a great one to share. It's so amazing. Did you just get a phone call that they said, you know, hey, we found it?
Yeah. And I mean, I think even within like a single company that's responsible for supply chain and delivery distribution, there were so many moving parts. They thought it was in a facility in Denver. It was actually in Portland. Literally, it was a function of paperwork not getting loaded on the pallets. And because the paperwork didn't follow the inventory, that's where the whole system went awry. So to Justin's point, a little technology in their company would probably do them some value.
Having that tech background as well and dealing with supply chain, that's just one of those things that it makes you cringe, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, that's a great opportunity in the tech world to solve something with technology instead of paper-based. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the actual products. So when you did you launch with one product or full line?
Yeah. So the steak salt was our kind of first product that we planned to bring to market. And that was a result of many people asking us to send it during COVID. We started gifting it during Christmas. My mom started asking for like 1 pound bags, and I still don't know what my mom was doing with 1 pound of steak seasoning to this day, but it's great on vegetables, potatoes. So who knows? She was probably using it on everything. So when we met, you know, we hired a local creative agency and marketing team, and we were talking about what we wanted to do. And they said, you really should launch a portfolio. Do you have other blends? You do. And we do. Becca had been making the za'atar throughout COVID that we were putting on all of our hummus and labneh. And the toast sugar was actually an idea. It wasn't something that we had been previously making. But during the conversation with the marketing and creative team, I said, it'd be really cool if, you know, we had a third product that was sweet, like a toast sugar. And everyone said, well, hold on, what's a toast sugar? And I go, well, it's not a thing. I made it up. And so then, as we talked through like what the idea was, like, that's great, let's do it. And we had some other blends, like the pork rub was the fourth one we launched. But we thought it would be really cool to bring something unique to market. And so we launched with our steak salt, our za'atar, and our toast sugar. And then we subsequently brought to market the pork rub and a Greek blend.
And I know that, you know, we talked a little bit about the passion for travel and travel for work and travel for fun. We travel as a hobby. And what we've been trying to do is really draw on inspiration from home, what we cook with people in our kitchen, and then inspiration from what we find when we're, you know, out traveling to new places that we haven't experienced before. And the vision, as Justin mentioned earlier, is really to, that steak salt was intended for him to be able to hop off a plane from Tokyo, me to have 10 people waiting at a dinner table and execute steak flawlessly every time. We knew how we were going to season it, and every single person always enjoyed coming over. It was rave reviews. That's what we're trying to emulate with the rest of the blends as well. They're purpose intended. So with the steak salt, it's built for steak. But the reality is it's 5 ingredients, incredibly balanced, super, super impactful flavor with garlic and onion and sea salt, but it can be used for everything, whether it's broccolini or potatoes. And the rest of the blends are that versatile. So I always encourage people who are like, what do I use with the Greek blend? Well, anything. It can be salads, vinaigrettes, you know, marinades, sprinkle it on top of a hummus, put it on feta. There's just, if you let down the guardrails of, you know, thinking about food, those seasonings are so versatile. And we just want to bring something to home kitchens, you know, around the country, around the world, that enable them to just so seamlessly execute great food without having to pull out 10 to 12 spices and figure out what to do next.
And our mission is to make it easy for home chefs of all caliber to up-level their cooking, have a great meal, but also be able to spend the time with their guests that they're cooking for. And I think that that convenience factor has been something that's been trending for a long time, but to then apply it to home cooking became much more relevant during COVID. And so there's really a market now for people who want to cook at home, but also want it to be easy to make flavorful food. And so we really feel like we found a niche that's great, you know, for us, because we live that, right? We need the convenience. We also want the great food, but also for many others throughout the country.
I can testify to that because we cook at home most of the time. I eat a cleaner diet, but I'm also looking for how to enhance the flavors. Like you said, a broccolini, the salts are very versatile. I will say that, because today I used the Greek one on an omelet that I made for lunch, and it was amazing. And it takes it to that next level. So I'm in love with your products. They've made things easy for me, and they make me feel like, oh yeah, I'm a good cook. So it's been a really nice thing. But I think too, was that, like you said, you started off with one thing and kind of added on to it, and you're, I'm sure, going to be adding new flavors as well. So that was the vision from the get-go, that you would launch with one or a couple of things and grow the line. Does your business look today what you thought it would look like when you started out, or is it different or completely different?
That's an interesting question, because when we started the company, we created a mission statement. We talked about what our future goals would be. And I mean, we put a lot of effort into it, but I don't know how much we were actually thinking about what the future state is. And it's only been a year and a half, a little more, right? So we haven't been around very long. But as we go back and relook at what we created almost 2 years ago, it actually really describes what we're doing quite well, which maybe it's intentional, maybe it's not. Like, it's actually hard to reflect and be like, did I really know what I was doing? But I think the answer to that question is that it's different than I would have expected. But again, mostly in a good way. Like, I take a lot of pride when I look at the shelf now, and we have steak salt, which is white, pork rub, which is red, toast sugar, which is yellow, Greek blend is blue, za'atar is purple. I'm like, oh, we need an orange and a green so we can fill out the rainbow. But I get this sense of pride, and I never would have thought that we would have probably had 5 blends going on 6 this early in our endeavor.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, I think, And what it does, it also inspires me, the capability of our team, our small team, to create such high impact blends and such versatile blends also has me kind of ideating and thinking about where we take those next. Not only do I hope to envision that we continue to expand the portfolio of products that we have, but there's a lot of things that need seasoning, whether it's going into a parallel opportunity around crackers, or whether you go and collaborate with some sauce makers or olive oil companies, or even cheeses. There's just a lot of really interesting potential kind of angles that you can take when you've really kind of got the foundational seasoning component down. So I'm really excited for what the future holds. I have no idea, you know, what that looks like, but I think that we have, we've got kind of the right foundation to build something really special and meaningful. And we're excited to continue to pursue all of those opportunities.
The foundation makes a difference. And that's one of the things I always tell startups or people who are thinking about it, is build a strong foundation, and starting with that mission, vision, values. That really, to me, sets the course. It's almost like you are predicting what things are going to be like when you are really strong in your mission, vision, and values. And it sounds like you did that from the beginning.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say is we hired a team to help support us. So a lot of the coaching we've been getting, back to the time, how do you have the time to do all this, is where you can hire the right people that know how to do things well. And so we've really leaned into the creative team that's helped us build this mission and brand identity and vision. And we have a deck we refer back to every single time we have new opportunities for PR, new marketing initiatives that we're working on. So the narrative and who we are and the identity of the brand stays very consistent as we continue to build and evolve. And, you know, my advice to people who are looking to kind of make this jump, but feel they may have a gap in a skill set here or don't quite have the time, is kind of look to your left and your right. And there's a lot of people that have capabilities to help support your initiatives or can fill some of those areas where you think you need some additional resources or skills.
Yeah. And I would add that I think starting a company, a small company, while you have a corporate career is maybe the ideal timing. I wouldn't have thought that. When we started this, I was worried, are people going to think that this is a conflict with my current job, right? And even though I probably work 60 hours a week on average, right, I still was worried. But, you know, it gives you the ability with that income to be able to outsource to people who are actually better at creative or marketing or PR or selling into the industry that you're entering than you are. And we've been able to leverage that. It also is great from a tax perspective, because usually if you're in a corporate role, you're paying a higher income tax than you will when you're out of that corporate role. So it's been great from that perspective. And I would say the most surprising thing is that it's actually probably helped me more in my corporate role than anything else I've done. And because you're getting that breadth of experience, everything from creating a website to figuring out logistic challenges to marketing to PR, you know, you're really dealing with a whole business, and then you're able to share that passion with others. And at least for food, it's something that's common for everybody. And so the number of relationships in the corporate world that I've been able to kind of help build by sharing my love of food and our products with, you know, corporate execs on the other end, whether it's a partner or a customer, has been great. I get text messages probably weekly from customers who are using our product. You know, hey, just tried the za'atar on eggs. It's amazing. Or, you know, cook the burger with the Portland steak salt. And it creates a personal connection with people in the corporate world that is actually stronger than if you're not sharing that kind of personal passion or side project that you're otherwise probably doing anyway.
Oh my gosh, this has been fantastic. I could just talk to both of you forever because we have so many synergies here and such great wisdom and insight that you're sharing. I really appreciate it. Tell us where we can find you, because I know everybody's going to want to jump on this. So where can we find you?
Awesome. You can find us at portlandsaltco.com. We have a fantastic website. We've got tons of recipes to inspire you up there. All of our products are located up there. And then locally in the Pacific Northwest, we have a number of retail outlets that we are partnered with across the state of Washington and Oregon.
Yeah. So in one of the national sellers that just brought us on is Crowd Cow. So if you love steaks or pork or chicken, they ship direct to your door. It's the best mail order meat I've ever had. So I was really excited because I've been ordering for them for years. In fact, I think 2 years ago, it was our Christmas gift to everybody when we launched Steak Salt was we sent them Crowd Cow and we sent them the Steak Salt. So it's really cool to see that all come together. And if you do come to our website, portlandsaltco.com, we are offering a discount for your listeners. So it's 10% off. Just type in expat into the discount code window. We'll leave that running for a month or so. And we'd love to hear your feedback on our products. Obviously, we're really passionate about them. We hope you love them. And as Becca said, recipes are on our website. They're also on our Instagram site as well, or Instagram page.
That's amazing. Thank you for that generous discount. Really appreciate it. The salts are amazing. You guys are amazing. I really appreciate you joining us today and sharing all of this great knowledge and experience with us. And I am looking forward to so much success from you because I totally see it happening. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicole. Really a pleasure, and appreciate all of your listeners for tuning in today.
Yeah. Thank you for having us, Nicole. And thank you for tuning in.
Thank you everyone for joining, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support this podcast, please hit subscribe, leave a rating and review, share it with others, or post about it on social media. For show notes, links, to connect with guests and more, visit us at corporate-expat.com. And be sure to catch the next episode with more insights and inspiration to support your corporate expat experience. Bye for now.